Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Thus far, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have seen that Paul has described his ministry among the Thessalonians as being effective, verse 1, courageous, verse 2, and approved by God, verses 3 and 4. And he elaborates upon that third one a little more extensively than the first two, in that he gives us three areas by which to examine whether or not it appears that his ministry was, in fact, approved by God. He first of all gives three disqualifying factors in verse 3. If these things, any one of these three, are evident, then the ministry is not approved by God. He gives one essential factor in the first part of verse 4. And then, finally, he gives two evidences of God's approval in the last part of verse 4. So, let's read the verses and then look at these, taking it a little bit further than we have on previous broadcasts. He said in verse 3 of chapter 2, 4, "Our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." We've already covered that first one in verse 3 rather extensively, but I read it again. "For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit." And so a ministry's approval by God can be examined by asking these three questions. Number one, is it true? That is, does it compare with the declarations of the Bible? Number two, is it pure? That is biblical morality upheld in the teaching of this ministry, and is biblical morality upheld in the lives of those who are carrying on this ministry? And number three, is it honest? Does it evidence manipulation, false representation, exaggeration, or is it just straightforward and honest in the way this ministry is presented to others? In other words, does it carry its effectiveness primarily by PR work or by just solid teaching of God's Word, which has the blessing of God's Spirit evidently upon it? May I pause and welcome you to this Wednesday, April 3 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and may I thank you for your consideration of the financial support needed to keep this ministry teaching on this station. So three disqualifying factors. If it is not true to the Word of God, it's disqualified. If it is not evidencing purity, both in teaching and in the practice of those who are involved, it does not meet God's approval. And number three, is it honest? That is it straightforward in its approach, or is it deceitful, manipulative? There's so many ways that that can be done. I gave you a couple of illustrations previously. I am conscious of some ministries that regularly and routinely exaggerate figures, exaggerate attendance figures, exaggerate decision figures, and so forth and so on. And that in itself, the decision part, is a whole different subject that I won't go into now. But that's an important matter. If a ministry cannot be trusted to tell the truth about itself, if it has to exaggerate its image in order to appear to be more successful than it is, then how can you trust it to be honest in its handling of God's word? What makes you think it won't also twist, distort, shape, and manipulate the word of God in order to advance its own cause rather than to make its primary cause a faithful, honest proclamation of God's word? So those three disqualifying factors, but then we move on to what I would call the one essential factor, and we could summarize that by saying a sincere heart is the one essential factor, and that sort of summarizes everything else, but that is encapsulated in the words, God who tests. Again, verse 3, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. As we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Approved by God who knows the heart. That's the problem, of course, in testing ministries, is that we cannot know hearts. Only God can. We cannot see hearts. Only God can. We can see other evidences that we can and ought to weigh carefully, but humbly and thoughtfully. We can become carnal critics and Monday morning quarterbacks in a very sinful and ungodly way, or we can be thoughtful analysts using the Word of God humbly, thoughtfully, prayerfully, to rightly evaluate other ministries. But Paul here now moves past the three tests that people can examine, at least to some extent, to see if a ministry qualifies, and he appeals to God alone who can see the heart. God knows the heart. God knows the motives. God examines hearts, and some of what God knows in a heart can be indicated by the first test. Is it true to the Word of God? Is it pure? Or does there seem to be some evidences of uncleanness, of monkeying around with biblical morality? Or is it deceitful? Is it honest and straightforward in the way it presents itself and the way it presents anything that relates to the ministry? And though those things cannot be known thoroughly by human beings in most cases, they can only be known partially, those are indications to some extent of what is in the heart. But Paul says, when it gets beyond what human eyes are able to detect and what human ears are able to hear, then I can appeal to God Almighty, who sees everything and hears everything. And he says, but we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We have been approved by God. He makes the statement. It's one of those statements that anyone can make, and no one can prove or disprove for certain, because only God knows the heart. So he's appealing to the approval of God. And if he's not telling the truth, then surely God will expose that at some point. And of course, that never happened in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And therefore, we have a further evidence that he is telling the truth, that he knows that his ministry was given to him by God and has been carried out faithfully as unto the Lord, and that it is in fact approved by God. God, who knows every heart. God, who knows our motives. God, who is able to analyze things in a way that nobody else can. Paul says, I am declaring that the ministry that I conducted among you is in fact known by God to be a faithful and truthful and viable and God-honoring ministry. Now, when it comes to this matter of motives, that's a tough one. We sometimes have difficulty examining that in our own selves, of our own hearts. In fact, I am confident in examining my own heart and motives in regard to my ministry that at times my motives are mixed. There is an element, I trust a strong element, I think so, but only God knows for sure, but a strong element that truly desires the honor and glory of God alone. But there are traces from time to time of little indications that I would like to get a little bit of glory, a little bit of honor, a little bit of prestige out of this thing. And when I discern that, when I discover that, I acknowledge it, I confess it, I ask God to forgive me for it and to return me to pure motives that are only for the honor and glory of God, and like John the Baptist to say, he must increase and I must decrease. And isn't that an interesting statement? Because he indicated in that statement that there is room for him to shrink further. Did you ever think about it that way? Jesus, in the honor and glory that goes to him, needs to increase. I want to make him larger and larger and larger. And for myself, I want my own reputation and ministry and esteem of men to decrease, indicating that there is some of that present now. In other words, I think this is an admission on the part of John the Baptist that he realized that there were times when his motives were not 100% totally given to the honor and glory of Christ alone, but that was his prevailing motive, and it was his desire that any wrong motives be diminished, be decreased, be humbled further. May God do so. May he increase, may I decrease. And that's what all of us need to say in regard to whatever areas of life God has put us in. I say this, of course, as a man who has been involved in public ministry of the Word of God for more than 50 years. And though I don't know my heart perfectly, only God does, I am honest enough to say that I recognize there are times, there have been times, and if I'm not careful, there will still be times when there's an element of pride that rises up within me and says, I would like to be honored, I would like to be exalted, and I need, as I've already said, to acknowledge that as wrong, ask God to remove it from me, and that may no longer be present. But you see, those tendencies are in all of our lives. Some people aren't honest about it. They don't want to admit that they're there, but that's just an indication that they don't know their hearts very well. They don't know the Scripture very well. They probably aren't very close to the Lord. I'm sure you have discovered, as I have, that the more you grow in grace, the more sinful you see yourself to be. The closer you get to the Lord, the more sinful you see yourself to be. Things that you never would have imagined to be sinful in years gone by, as you have continued to grow and be sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you now recognize to be sinful, and you, in some ways, it's kind of a discouraging thing that the more you are sanctified, the more you feel like you are not sanctified. In other words, the holier you actually become, the more sinful you seem to be to yourself. Well, that's a good sign, because that's exactly what growing in grace, growing in holiness, growing in godly motives is going to do to you. You'll see yourself more clearly as God sees you. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.